So good morning, Rabbi Sai. Another new week and another Parsha. So last week we did Parshas Poro, and this week we'll look at Parshas Achodesh, and possibly we'll look at the Haftorah like we did Parshas Shkolim. We found a lot of very interesting things about Yehoyosh and Atalia and all the whole story of the murder and the child that was hidden in the Beis HaMikdash, etc. So first of all, just to say that we finished off last week saying that there was a sort of a trivia question about when could you have Kriyas HaTorah when you bring out four Sifrei Torah. Yeah, that was where we got to at the end of Friday.
When Purim is Shabbos.
And what?
When Purim is Shabbos.
If Purim is Shabbos, then what?
Then the Shabbos on Shabbos.
Four Sifrei Torah?
No, what did Yerushalayim?
In Yerushalayim, what would they learn from four Sifrei Torah on Shabbos? No, I don't think so. I mean, it'll be Parsha Zohar. And the Sedra, what else? Can't be Rosh Chodesh. It's the middle of the month. So we said last week, right, that the situation would be if in Parshas HaChodesh, which can fall on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and if they either forgot to do Parshas Poro the week before, or they found out that the Sefer Torah from which they read in Parshas Poro last week was possible. So they haven't been Yoytza Parshas Poro. Then, because Parshas Poro belongs to this week as well, because on the second day of Nisan was the time when Moshe Rabbeinu made the first Poro Adumo. So therefore we have a connection with this week as well. Therefore they say that you can be mashlim Parshas Poro on Parshas HaChodesh as well, in which case the first Sefer would be the Sedra. The second Sefer would be Rosh Chodesh, because that's Todir. If it fell on Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, that would be Todir. The next one would be Parshas Poro, because I'm making up for last week, the one that I missed out. And then I would do Maftir, then Kaddish, and then Maftir Parshas HaChodesh, and the Haftorah Parshas HaChodesh. So that would be it's a good trivia question. So I asked a few people over the weekend, and nobody got it, but somebody asked me back a trivia question. So I thought I'd just share it with you. You can think about the answer. And that is, when can a Kohen not marry an Almona? That was a trivia question, right? Just ask me, a Kohen Hedyot, right? Regular Kohen Hedyot wishes to marry an Almona, and the Beis Din will say, I'm sorry, this Almona you cannot marry. You may marry an Almona.
That's what the Grusha first time.
What? He can't take a Grusha anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
She's been divorced before.
What?
She's been divorced before.
I don't know. If she's been Gerusha and then she became an Almona afterwards, so are they a second marriage?
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe that's one. But there's another one where she hasn't had two marriages previously, only one.
Has she been the Almona of the Kohen Gadol
now? No. Okay, anyway, think about it. Yeah. When you get the answer, you'll say, oh yeah, obvious.
The king's Almona.
Well, the King's Almona, I don't know. I don't know whether anybody's allowed to say the King's Almona. It's very good ideas coming up here. Anyway,
if she was a Grusha first, once she's a Grusha, can't marry her.
No, but if she was a Grusha, he's saying if she was a Grusha and then she became an Almona in a second marriage, then he can't marry this Almona because she was previously a Grusha. Yeah, that could be. I don't know what the halach is, but there's an even simpler answer. Okay, but anyway, think about it. If anybody comes up with it, answers on the postcard, and we'll tell you tomorrow morning. Are you here tomorrow morning?
No.
I'll tell you after this year. It's a very simple answer anyway. Okay, Parshas HaChodesh, the HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem was the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. The first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael as Am Yisrael was the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and the parsha that we read in HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem contains the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, but it also contains all the mitzvahs, all the halachas of Korban Pesach, and Pesach as a Yom Tov, and the Yisra of Matzah, you're not allowed to own it, you're not allowed to keep it, and you're not allowed to eat it, yeah? Thank you very much. Yeah, all those halachas are all in the parsha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It's a fairly long parsha, and basically it's got all the halachas of Pesach and Korban Pesach. But it starts off, we call it Parsha HaChodesh because the first pasuk, and it's only the first pasuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodoshim. Yeah, and then it says Dabru l'kalaras Yisrael, but also l'chodesh hazeh, and then you start to learn the what's called. Because this is the first mitzvah given to Kal Yisrael, we call it Parshas l'chodesh. We line it on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, or the Shabbos on Rosh Chodesh if it falls Rosh Chodesh, and we go through that parsha. The Haftorah will mirror the parsha in many, many ways, and that B'leida we'll start to look at tomorrow.
Started at the Torahway, Northwest London, Sunday, Yotes Ador, 8th of March, Rabbi Osher Spry, Shlita of Borumwood Kodal. What is Lechem Part 2? This week's Torah sponsored for Simchat Torah family Wittenberg Moses will take place in Mitzvah Hashem on Tuesday, Kaf Aleph Ador. He rotten Shubna Bais, Denver, Wesh Rosh Hashem, Lishelot, Walinishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov, Ben Rabbi Shimon, Paul Tzvi, Itzkovitz, Zicharono, Livrocho.
Amen. For inviting me back for part two. But let's just do a brief recap from a month ago about a month ago. And also I think there's new people here. So we discussed last month. Thank you. Have to be careful, I said. We discussed last month, what is Lechem? That means to say, we know there's a concept of Passover Kisten, which means, we'll say in a minute what it means, but we know it's a type of thing which is Mizonos, it's not bread exactly, but last time we discussed what is its status in according to the Torah. What is it? Meaning, we asked the Kasha, Mamonavshach, is it bread be'etzem? Meaning, that there seems to be a very interesting thing about Passover Kisten, which is that if you eat a small amount, then you make a Mizonos and a Lamechir. And if you eat a large amount we'll discuss a bit more at the end of the Shir, then you make Hamoitzi and Berachas Hamazon. And we asked, we don't really find this by any other type of food, that the bracha changes dependent on how much you eat. So why it was that? We explained a bit last time. We said two different shittas in the Rishonim, whether we consider it bread minat Torah, it's just that we sort of downgrade it when you don't eat a proper shir, or we said no, really it's not really considered bread minat Torah, but we upgrade it when you eat a proper shir. That was the discussion more or less last week. But last month, yeah. Now, we're going to go into that a bit more and see a few halachic ramifications of this. So, first of all, let's recap the three different opinions about what is Passover Habor B'Kissen. It's a very ambiguous term. In fact, we'll see the three different Rishonim how explain what it actually means. Pas, bread, Habor B'Kissen, which comes with Kissen. I mean, I'm translating according to one Rishon here. I'm explaining. Passover B'Kissen has three understandings, just how to translate the simple words, okay? So Rashi in Brachos says, Pas Habob Kisten means bread which comes with kisten. What is kisten? Rashi says kisten are like sort of a dessert type thing, like nuts and I don't know, gari nim or whatever it is, that comes at the end of the meal. And together with that, you bring a type of bread. So it's Pas Habob Kisten. It's bread which comes with kisten. And Rashi explains this type of bread is a nice sweet bread, there's lots of spices in it, and it's made differently, therefore, to other breads. So Rashi's opinion is Pas Habob Kisten bread, which comes with kisten. Now, therefore, what is that in reality? That means it's bread which is added extra spicy or sweet stuff to it, which makes it different. Just an example, nowadays will obviously be cakes or anything else, scones or anything which is added different ingredients to sweeten it, different to what you'd usually have for bread.
And sugar count?
Sugar might count, there's a lot of sugar. And this is nowadays, fruit juice is another example, and this is how they make mezonos bread nowadays. That's what mezonos bread nowadays is, that type of pas habor b'kisten. It means it's added apple juice instead of water to the dough. So that's one understanding of pas habor b'kisten. Pas, bread which comes with kisten. The other understanding is Pas Habob Kisten. It's a bit hard to read into the words, but some Rishonim say Pas Habob Kisten means kisten is Meloshin kisten, pockets. Okay, so Pas Habob Kisten means bread which comes with pockets. So that means to say that there's a bread, you make a bread, but instead of just having normal bread, you put some filling inside. Okay, so that's how they understand it. Examples of that would be kokosh cake or berekas, or maybe pizza. That would be the type of Passover kisten, according to those opinions. Passover kisten means, according to those shittas, bread which comes with pockets. And the third understanding is kisnin is meloshen kaisis, to crunch. And according to that, Passover kisnin means it's a bread. Again, I'm not sure how they read the loshen habo, but they read it, they understand it's a type of bread which is very crunchy. And that would be crackers or other hard things, maybe even matzahs. You have to understand that, but that's the understanding in those opinions. So just to recap, first opinion is Passover kisnin is bread which comes with kisnin, which is a type of dessert. Then there is Passover kisnin, which is pocket, so bread which has some pockets. And then you can understand it means kisnin, it means crunch, which would mean that the bread is a type of crunchy bread like crackers. So those are the three opinions. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings all three opinions. And the question is, we discussed this a bit last time, I just want to go into a bit more now. What is the psak? I mean, we have three opinions, but who do we paskin like? And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like all three. And how can that be? Usually we have three opinions, we wouldn't necessarily go with all three opinions. And this is a kasha of the Beis Yosef says, because Sofik brochus lekula. Okay, Sofik brochus lekula. So we're not sure what bracha to make. So instead of making hamoitzi or brochus hamozen, we'll be makel and make mezainas or alamechia. Now, asks the Bach, there's a very nice kula you have. I mean, I would also think it's a kula because you're making a shorter bracha. At least for after bracha, the bracha before, maybe it's not such a kula. Maybe you have to wash. That's a kula. But why is that a kula? At the end of the day, the kula is not viewed as what's easier necessarily the bracha is easier to make. The kula is because we're not sure bracha to make, so we either make a bracha or we don't make a bracha. How could it be that you're not sure what bracha to make, so you'll make mezonos instead of amoitzi, or you'll make amechim instead of brachos amozim? Either way, whatever bracha you're doing, if you're doing the wrong bracha, you're transgressing a severe issa of Lisisa Shem Hashem Rekech Lashov. You can't mention Hashem's name in vain because you're making the wrong bracha. So why does it make a difference? Or how can you be solve the problem of what you're not sure what bracha to make by making a mezonos or making alamichya? How is that going to solve the problem at all? At the end of the day, you're making the wrong bracha. That's what the Bach's kasha is. So there are a few different turrets, but mainly two of them I'll mention. We mentioned this last time also. One answer is to say that mezonos counts really to cover hamoitzi. Hamoitzi doesn't necessarily count to cover mezonos as much, but mezonos counts to cover hamoitzi. So we may call to make mezonos because you're not doing Hashem's name in vain, because mezonos counts to cover hamoitzi. So you'll make mezonos to cover both bases. That is the teret of the prisha. The other mahalach is to say, actually, we're going against all wrong. Yes, you're right, three different opinions in Rishonim, but actually they're not arguing with each other. Rather, each one is saying a different example, or each one's arguing about what the words mean. Yeah, the words mean, what do they mean? Do they mean Passover kisnin, that means a bread which comes with the dessert? Does it mean with pockets, or does it mean crunchy? So that is three different opinions of how to understand the words. They all agree to each other that in reality they all are types of things which are not normal bread. And therefore they all have the same halacha. It's just the Gemara gave one example, Passover kisnin, which is representative of all the other examples. They're not necessarily arguing with each other. Okay, and that's what we saw. We mentioned also this last time from the Nesivus. Nesivus was famous not just for his Pirush on Chayshe Mishpat. He also wrote a Haggadah Shal Pesach called Maisa Nissen, quite famous Haggadah Shal Pesach. And finally, at the end of it, he brings a few Hilchos Brachos in a Kuntras called Kuntras Dinei Mezonos. And there he brings an old piece where he says that in fact, it's really interchangeable. That means to say, whatever isn't usually bread, that's the way that Chazal viewed it, whatever isn't the prime example of what bread should be, is Chazal gave a different bracha to it, or Chazal didn't require hamoitzi for it because it's not a normal thing eaten as bread. So each of these examples are things which are not eaten as bread. Crackers are not eaten as bread, berek is not eaten as bread, and neither is cake. All these examples are things which are not eaten as bread, and therefore, says in the Sivas, that's very easy to understand why the Shulchan Aruch brings all three opinions. They all agree to each other. Okay, now, just to understand this a bit, I think, how do we take on? Do we take on that the Shulchan Aruch is bringing three opinions which argue with each other? It's just we say, Sofik, Brochus, Lohakil. Or do we take on that they all agree to each other? How do we get on? We seem to take on both. That's going to be the big dilemma. We seem to take on both, which is a bit of a steer. How can we take on both? Okay, but we seem to take on. I'll explain how we see we take on both. Okay. Now let's first of all look at the ramifications, and we'll see how we take on is. Well, let's see. Okay, number one. Let me ask you a question. If we take on, let's go with the side that it's a Suffolk. We're not sure which one. Paschal likes, we say Suffolk, Brochus, the Hockel. So now, let me ask you a question. Why do you not have to wash until it's time, Suffolk? Snarker, okay? You say Snarker. So until it's time, it's only Derabon. Okay, that's not too hard to understand that one. Okay, what about if you, let's say you take a cracker and a piece of cake. If we're going to Hokel, now it should come out in one of Shach, you should be chayv in Hamoitzi and Brachos Amozen.
Why?
Because even if the cracker's not Hamoitzi, but at least the cake should be Hamoitzi. And if the cake's not Hamoitzi, at least the cracker should be Hamoitzi.
Both
Yeah, but if we're saying we're going, if we're not sure which Hanoch. Well, let's understand it. We're understanding now, we're going according to the opinion that really it's a Suffolk. That means to say, they each argue with each other. Each opinion of the Rishonim argue with each other. Some say Pasul Bakistan is crackers, some say it's cake, and some say it's berekas. Just for argument's sake. So each one argues with each other. So according to Rishon number one, cake should be Mazovis. According to Rishon number two, about crackers should be Amoitzi. According to Rishon number two, crackers is Mazovis, but cake is Amoitzi. So if you eat both.
One should to number three, they're both Mazovis.
They're both Mazonas. Well, according to no, according to number three, only his example. According to number one, only crackers are Mazonas. According to number two, only cakes are Mazonas. According to number three, only berekas are Mazonas. So if you have two things, then Mimonovshach, according to all opinions, you've eaten something which is Hamoitzi. So, I mean, this is not such an uncommon example. Yeah? Anyone sat down to eat a cracker and a piece of cake should, according to this opinion, make. Mazonas. I mean, make Hamoitzi. Yeah? Make that out of this. Right, there's going to be a problem. Maybe you have to eat both at the same time. But the Mazonas, don't worry. This is not the Milag. No one does this. And I'm not coming to change anything anyone's done. Usually, when people do things, they're doing the right thing. That's what I've learned. But at the end of the day, why is that not true? Why is that not the case? So it would seem to be, say the Poskim, the Mazonas, we take on the opinion which says they all agree with each other. Okay, so they all agree with each other. Therefore, even if you eat two different things, then you would still make mazonos, or three different things even, because they all agree to each other. As that, unless you're eating something which is proper bread, you're going to make mazonos.
If you convert soda into mazonos.
So if you're going to soda, we'll get to that, yeah, of course. If you're going to soda, then of course you make a mozi. Well, we're going to get to that a bit more, hopefully. Just one more point. Another point, just how we see also, we don't go with this opinion, because usually it is by Suffolk brothers, we try and avoid them. Certainly, at least it's something which is a Yerushalayim should at least avoid, a situation of Suffolk brothers. Yeah, maybe it's not the Ikadocha, but at least someone who's scrupulous in his brothers should avoid it. Doesn't seem to be any mention in the Poskim that when it comes to Pasul Bakistan, don't eat any Pasul Bakistan unless you eat it in the middle of a soda. Why? Because you're not sure what bracha to make. Usually that's the case by Suffolk brachas. You try and avoid it. Suddenly when it comes to Pasul Bakistan, no mention in the Poskim that we should try and avoid it if it's a Suffolk. Again, that points us towards what? That all opinions agree to each other, and therefore, when we're eating Pasul Bakistan, we're not necessarily entering a shayla of Suffolk brachas. Okay, so those are two pointers how we see that we really take on like the opinions that they all agree with each other. Now the opposite, let's see the opposite, how we see perhaps that they all agree to each other. Now, if what's a dinner possible because in the middle of the meal? If you eat a dessert, which is generally people make brachas on dessert, but because why? We know the rule is things which come in the middle of a meal, as a satiation, something comes to fill you up, is coming for the meal itself, then the bracha of hamoitzi patters everything. Whereas if it comes in the middle, it's where I'm born, they're coming in the middle of a meal, but they're not really suda items, they're not really suda food things, for example, dessert, generally people make that, well, at least the Gemara says you make a bracha on it. So, what about Passover kisim? What is Passover kisim? Says the Gemara, clearly, Passover kisim is something which is coming in the middle of a meal, and shloim achmas suda is not generally eaten as part of the meal. That's what the Gemara says. So, that's Paschal and Shulchan Aruch, that you don't make a bracha of Paschal Kisim in the middle of a meal. So, you do make a bracha of Paschal Kisim in the middle of a meal. You do make a bracha. Because it's not about coming machmas soda. Now, just point out, if you're eating it to satiate your hunger, then it is coming machmas soda, and the Mishnah Berurah says, of course, you don't make a bracha in that situation. But if it's coming for dessert, you do make a bracha. But now the problem is going to be, what is Passover Kisim? Meaning to say, if you're eating something which is not Passover Kisim, then of course you should not make a bracha, because it's something which is coming from the meal. But if it is Passover Kisim, you have to make a bracha. So now, if we have three different opinions of what Passover Kisim is, if they all agree to each other, then great, then you make a bracha on each one. If they don't all agree to each other, then what do we do? Then you can't make a bracha on anything. Why? Because each item you eat, you can say, this might be Passover Kisim, I have to eat at Sofik Brochas, Lahokil. Sofik Brochas, Lahokil will tell you here not to make a bracha. Because I can't make a bracha on something which might be coming in the middle of the meal through the meal. This might be something which is shy to the Zoda, and therefore I can't make a bracha on it. So if I eat any of the Passover Kisim in the middle of a meal, I shouldn't be allowed to make a bracha. Why is it so ex
vega?
Yeah, but why is it a sophic if it's coming machmas suda?
Because it depends on the context. We have crackers, for example, with eggs on Shabbos. So there you've got the possible kistin and it's machmas asida.
Okay, so that depends. If you're eating it, we're trying to avoid a case of where it might become machmas soda. Talk about where it's for sure not coming machmas soda. For example, a dessert. Meaning, if you're eating for satiation, then... So a dessert type thing. So, but there, it depends. Meaning, if it's Passover Kisim, then for sure, you make a bracha. If it's not Passover Kisim, you should make a bracha. So let's just reiterate. So according to the opinions that they all agree to each other, gewaldig, you make a bracha in each one. According to the opinions that all disagree with each other, then you shouldn't be allowed to make a bracha in the middle of the meal on Passover Kisim.
I'll tell that this kinoch that you're having at the end of the Suda is hamoitzi.
Yeah.
Is there a tzad to say that you'd have to make a second hamoitzi
on this? No, I don't think so.
Because
if the count is.
It's not Bar Bachmas HaSuda.
Yeah, but the Bar Bachmas HaSuda is only needed if it's in bracha.
You've already eaten your meal, you've finished.
Yeah. Well, if you have a salik, if you have a siach das.
I don't mean that, but I'm saying it's a kinoch, it's not part of
the meal. It's not Bar Machmas Suda. Yeah, but you only say Bar Machmas Suda if it's a different bracha. The chiddush of the Bar Machmas Suda is because it's a different bracha, what connects it to the hamoitzi? So we say, because it's coming through a meal, so the hamoitzi is shy from the whole Suda. But if it's anyways hamoitzi, even if it's not Machmas Suda, then you should...
Yeah,
definitely we can answer, yeah.
Sorry,
yes.
If you have to make an ala mikveh, but it's not part of the meal, because it's not covered by
hamoitzi,
then does the
Birkas
HaMazon cover it for the...
Yes, yeah, for sure it does. Yeah, 100%, yeah.
And if you always have cake at the end of the meal, it's a regular thing you're having.
Well, are you having it because you want to be more, you're hungry still, or are you having it because...
Part of the meal, you end with cake or something.
Why? Because you enjoy it, because it's a sweet aftertaste. Yeah, yeah. If it's a sweet aftertaste... Yeah, but a regular thing has to be... I mean, there's always going to be a reason. You're having it because you're hungry still, so then it'll be considered part of the meal for sure. And if you're having it because you just enjoy the sweet aftertaste, and it's like it helps your food go down or whatever it is, then it'll be not necessarily machmas soda. And I don't take any pesach yet, because I haven't said the last final piece yet. Just... Speak out. Okay,
and if you get to the main course and you're already full, yeah, you don't start making brochas on the vegetables.
Yeah, but that's always considered machmas suda. The vegetables and meat is always machmas suda. Even if you're full, you're eating it through the suda. You're not eating it.
You already had the fish, you already had the soup before.
True, but you're still you're eating machmas suda. You're still eating machmas suda. Unless it's something which is not really eaten machmas suda.
In our society,
it's very hard to.
It's all part of the meal. really.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
No, including
the dessert. Dessert's not. Dessert is something, it might be, alright, there are some places who say dessert's changed.
Why is it different?
It's a very interesting question, that, and to be honest, when it comes to all these shahs, especially the one with Rahm Ahmad Suda, what's very confusing is we don't really know what meals are nowadays. Mm-hmm. We read the Gemara, we see what they had as a meal. We have no idea what the... I mean, the meals they had were... First of all, they were banquets. It seems to be they had banquets every day with butlers waiting on them. That's what seems from the Gemara. But besides... And they had lots of wine during the meals also. But... So we don't really understand what meals are. So it's very, very hard to trend. It's a good point. And if we do ever do a show on Bar Mach Masudah, we'll have to discuss that. But generally, the rule is... how Chazal fixed it were... These certain things are coming... For sure, machmas to the suda, and it's irrelevant whether it's coming as to fill you up. These are things which are bar machmas to the be'etzem. Most of these things are bar machmas to the, but pasuk kisni is something which is not coming machmas to the. But just to go over this point. So what do we do? So what do we do? It says the bi'alacha that since we're not sure what pasuk kisni is, you can't make a bracha on a mezonos. Well, at least not any mezonos. We can have bizuli for sure. Yes, you can. But I'm saying any pasul b'kisson type thing, anything which is categorized as pasul b'kisson, if you have that in a meal, you can't make a bracha on it because we're not sure what pasul b'kisson is. And it might be pasul b'kisson, in which case you should make a bracha, but on the other hand, it might not be pasul b'kisson, in which case you should not make a bracha.
Even if it's got all three.
Oh, so one says it'd be alocha, unless it has, you're eating something which happens to have all three categories are in. For example, you can think of other examples.
Strudel.
So someone says this example, strudel. But even then, you have to strudel. I don't know. Okay, I haven't had strudel in a long time, but strudel. Yeah, how crunchy? Meaning, strudel contains sugar and other things in the mixture itself, so it fills that category. It's memula. It's filled up with things. The question is it considered porridge? Is it considered something crunchy? I've seen some people say it's not. It might be it is. I don't know. I don't have clarity on that point. Meaning that's maybe one example of something which for sure fulfill all examples.
What about matzah?
So matzah again. Matzah we mentioned
during the middle of a meal.
So matzah itself. First of all, eating matzah stump. Matzah stump. Can you make a motzi in the first place?
It's a cracker as mezonos, surely.
It might be. That's what some Sephardim Taka do hold that. But Ashkenazim, we take on, just to mention briefly, matzah is an interesting one because matzah is crunchy, shouldn't really be hamotzi. But since we have it on Pesach as bread, we sort of take that anhoga the rest of the year. It's a strange thing. But
matzah cracker, someone
said. So they say, some people say the round, small crackers of other would be mezonos. But... Just stay on this point. So says the bi'alacha, unless you fulfill all three conditions, you cannot make a bracha in the middle of a meal. So now we have again a conflict between the two different opinions. Do we take on they all agree with each other? All three opinions agree with each other. In which case, you should always make a bracha. Or they argue with each other, and you therefore don't make a bracha. Okay. Now, what do we do? Says it well. The bi'alacha paskens that you don't make a bracha. So it would seem to be, and that's what generally people do, they don't make a bracha unless it fulfills all three opinions. So that would seem that we go with the tzad that they all disagree with each other. So to wrap this up, it seems to be what we're having here is we have a big stira in our hoggers, or we seem to be dancing at two chasas there. Because on the one hand, we brought two proofs that would take, we said, why is it that when you eat a cracker and a cake, you don't in monoshach make hamoitzi and brachas hamazon? And we said why? Because we must be take on opinion that we all agree with each other. And furthermore, why don't we try and avoid something brachas? Because we seem to take on opinion that they all agree with each other. On the other hand, when it comes to desserts, we go to kula and we say, don't make a bracha on anything. So which would seem to be, we don't agree with each other. I'm not going to say a solution to this, I don't know. It seems to me people are more specific which one to go with. Should we go the hakel maybe on both ways, but that's just a big dilemma.
I understand that there are places where there might be tafkin not to serve mezonos as dessert. Right,
okay, interesting.
Only serve fruit and other things like that, but mezonos not because of the shaila brocha.
Interesting, okay, so I saw...
particular cakes, some cake, well, I've forgotten off what it is now, but some cake, particular type of cake, you shouldn't remember.
Strudel or something. Like strudel. Fulfill all the things. So, I mean, in the Sefer, Vezeis HaBracha, which is one of the primary halachic svarim on this. He actually brings a few different eitzes along as you are saying. Meaning, what do you do? What if you want to try and avoid all the shyness of Sophic, he brings a list of a few different eitzes. One, what do you do in the middle of a meal? If we already have the zones in the middle of a meal. So he says, one thing is, don't eat in the middle of a meal, bench first, and then have dessert afterwards. That's one way out, because then you can for sure make a bracha. See, he brings that up, and he says, because you're trying to avoid Sophic brachas, that's not a bracha shein yisricha. Bracha shein yisricha is mamash ein yisricha. If there's a reason for it, even a small reason of trying to avoid Sophic brachas, that's already makes it not bracha shein yisricha. And he says another opinion, which is a very interesting one. Everyone has to think about this if you want to take on this halacha, is when you wash, start the meal by having in mind that your hamaitzi is going to cover everything. Now, usually hamaitzi only covers things which are coming machmas sudah. However, if you have specific das, the hamaitzi should count to cover mezainas, that counts. If you make a bracha hamaitzi and mezainas by mistake, that works. And if you have das behedya, that your hamaitzi should cover mezainas, that would also work. So a way of avoiding sophic shayat brachas at the end of the meal with desserts would be to, when you make hamaitzi, have in mind
on the shita which says that whatever the balgusta gives you to eat, that's considered bubum machmasasir.
Interesting, okay, that's an interesting thing. That's
in other words, your mind is on whatever is given, that's not the seed. If it is cake, then it's also part of the seed.
That's interesting. Well, that's brought down. That sounds a bit chodesh, because at the end of the day, it's not really machmas. So then why should his bring it to the table?
You're
same as das by the bias. Okay.
Certainly, that was the view of Rabbi Feldman, your former rabbi.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. How much more time have we got?
3 minutes.
Okay. Let's see. One more thing, maybe.
Eating bread is it?
Sorry?
Eating bread with the cake, then isn't that also a way out?
Eating bread, what, meeting together with the bread?
Yes, you have a bit of bread at the end of the meal.
Unless you're eating it as a sandwich. Meaning, sandwiches, the reason why the filling is potter is because you're eating it together with. But bread's not something which is, the Gemara's terminology, melafis is a pas. It's not something which is eaten with bread. Cake is eaten by itself. That's what generally cake is eaten. So eating bread before and after doesn't really... It sandwiches it in time. It doesn't sandwich it in reality. I hear that, yeah. That's interesting. Okay, interesting. Okay, I want to mention... Okay, let's see, I have time for this, but... There's a very interesting question of Riki Veigo. I end off with this. Very interesting question of Riki Veigo. We know the dinners by Mizonos that if you eat a Kviya Soda, then you make Hamoitzi. But what is Kviya Soda? It's not what you feel full from. This is a mistake a lot of people make. It's not what you feel full from. It's what other people feel full from. You are bottle to other people in this regard. We don't look at what you are severe from. Look at what other people are severe from. Now ask Rabbi Gaina Iga a very interesting question. If you have a sheer kvius that you feel full from, then you are chayev in brachas hamazon midaraisa. Why? Because it says v'ochalta l'savata v'irachta, and that is one of the only brachas which are deraisa, is brachas hamazon deraisa, when you feel full from bread. The Torah says you have to make a bracha. And since Paschal B'Kisten is midaraisa classified as bread, when you eat enough mezonos, then you should be chayev in brachas hamazon deraisa. Yet, the Gemara seems to say that you're only chayv in brachas hamazon when you eat the shir she'acherim kovim masoda, which comes very interesting. If you have a small stomach and you are not able to, or you feel very full from a small amount, you should be chayv in brachas hamazon deraisa, but says the Gemara, no. Chazal say only chayv when you eat the shir she'acherim kovim masoda. How does that make sense? Ask Rav Yehiga. Says Rav Yehiga, two different solutions. Number one, perhaps he says, when the Torah says, achalta v'savat v'irachta, it doesn't mean that you feel full from. It means you ate the sheer suda that al-khayrim also feel full from. That's taka the chiyav, it's a big chiddush. You wouldn't have thought this. But it says, v'chalt v'svot in parashas ekev, it doesn't mean what you feel full from, it means what al-khayrim feel full from. And therefore, they're the same sheer. Alternatively, he says, a different way out, he says that perhaps v'chalt v'svot doesn't mean you have to make Brachas HaBozim. It means you have to make a bracha of which Me'ein Shalosh would also count. And therefore, according to the Midaraisa, as long, even if saying Me'ein Shalosh after eating a Kviya Soda or it's being severe, would fulfill the halacha of a Chalta V'Savota. Shkoyach.
What about the 3 or 4 eggs?
Was that
three or four?
3 or 4 eggs.
That's a
suit.
You know.
I
didn't
get to
that.
I didn't get to that.
Yeah.
It's Vegas. Go ahead.